It is part two of we started last week, so I'm going to get my beautiful assistant here, the board. You'll probably not be able to read it at the back or even at the front, but it helps me anyway. I'm putting a little alarm on here as well, so I'm sensitive to my timing because we're in the summer months here and we've promised shorter services, so there you go. Yeah, but what I have to say is very important, actually, and I entitled this last week, The One Thing Needed, and I talked also about this phrase, WIG, W-I-G, which stands for a widely important goal. Sometimes we have lots of different goals, and if we aim at too many things, we'll hit nothing. So it's good to have a widely important goal, which is a WIG. And spiritually, I am suggesting, proclaiming, that one of the most all-inclusive things you can aim for in life or enjoy in life is to be continually and fully led by the Holy Spirit. Everything else is included in that. Let me remind you why I'm saying that. When Jesus was on earth, one of the things he said is that something greater than Solomon is here, but that wasn't immediately obvious to people. There is something greater than walking on the moon, and that's walking in the Holy Spirit. One of the things I like about holidays is coming back, and it is really good to see Ken and Liz back, and also I have to say Laura and Alex as well, because I really missed you guys as well. But one of the nice things about coming back from holiday is you really appreciate things that maybe you didn't fully appreciate. You know, there's nothing like your own bed. There's nothing like seeing your wife if you've been away on a mission trip. And a friend of ours, Tommy Neumann, says it's time to come home if you're on a mission trip if every woman looks like your wife. And then you must get home urgently if even the buses look like your wife. But there's something about appreciating things that you don't fully appreciate. And you know, I don't think we fully appreciate the wonder and the majesty of why Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead. He did that to not just save us and forgive us, but that he could come and live in us by the Holy Spirit. And to be continually led by the Holy Spirit is the all-inclusive matter. Prove that to us, Stephen, I hear you cry. How many people want to please the Lord? Be led by the Holy Spirit. How many people love the Bible? Do you not want to apply the Bible, enjoy what's written in the Bible, honor what's written in the Bible, then be led by the Holy Spirit? How many people think love is the greatest of all? Be led by the Holy Spirit. He will lead you into how to love people, even your enemies. Absolutely. Do you need wisdom for your life situation right now? Are you worried about a child, a health issue? Is there tension at work? Do you want to know how to reach people for Christ? You need wisdom. The Holy Spirit has all the wisdom we need. He's the greatest helper, the greatest comforter, the greatest friend. He's the one who makes Jesus real. Do you want to overcome? He can enable us to overcome. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. There is something greater than Solomon here. There's something greater than walking on the moon. There's something to appreciate that we take for granted. Now, when we sang that first hymn that Andrew led us in, one of the phrases in that hymn is the most staggering statement you could come up with. And I suddenly realized afresh just how I sing those words, and I'm not sure that I fully appreciate it. My God should die for me. No other religion, no other philosophy, no fairy tale, no legend comes close to what we actually believe as Christians. And someday, somewhere, some of us are actually going to believe what we really believe and walk it out. So the all-inclusive thing, the one thing needed, the WIG, is to be continually led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God, the full mature sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. And so what I used as a sort of a hook is because we're in the book of Acts, and you can't read the book of Acts and not realize there's something about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts. Isn't that right? And I wanted to take a couple of verses, few verses from the book of Acts, to kind of act as a little bit like signs that we are being led by the Spirit, indications that we are being led by the Holy Spirit, connections with certain things that are related to being led by the Holy Spirit. You see, I love a scripture. I think it's in the Gospel of Mark. And it says like this, what God has joined together, let no one separate. That's referring to marriage. But God has joined many things together that we have a tendency to separate. I'll prove it to you. The triune God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not just Father, it's Son and Holy Spirit. Not just Spirit, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God forbid we would separate what God has joined together. Christ himself, fully God, fully human. Do not separate those two things. Some people feel, oh, Christ is God, but they forget or they act like he's not man. That he didn't really take on human nature. That he doesn't really understand what makes us sweat and groan. No, he is fully man. In the Godhead, there is a man, Christ Jesus, but he's also fully God. Don't separate what God has brought together. And being led by the Holy Spirit is connected with other things. And the first thing which I talked about last week is the very first verse in the book of Acts tells us what the book of Acts is actually about. And it's not really about the disciples or the apostles. And it's not really about the Holy Spirit. It's about the continuation of what Jesus did and taught. It's a sequel to Jesus. And so the first thing we emphasized, being led by the Holy Spirit, is it elevates Christ. It puts Christ on the throne, puts Christ at the center. It elevates his word. It elevates his promises. It's all about Jesus. And one of the ways we can cooperate with the Holy Spirit is fill our minds and fill our hearts with things the Holy Spirit loves. So be filled with Christ. Be filled with the Word of God. Be filled with positive, faith-based, hope-based thoughts centered on the most wonderful person in the universe. Christ. The opposite is also true. Fill your mind with negative things, with lies, with impure things, and it's very difficult to be fully filled and led by the Holy Spirit. I like what Robert said recently. He said, listen to the news once a day. I'm starting to realize I listen to the news too often. I fill my brain with stuff. Check your mail once or twice a day. Don't check it every 15 minutes. Don't fill your mind with garbage, with any thought, imagination that is inferior to the subject matter that the Holy Spirit loves. Be led by the Holy Spirit. I love the Holy Spirit because he's so behind the scenes in how he operates. He is so into glorifying the Father and the Son, and that's what he makes us. He makes us people willing to do things behind the scenes. So the second thing from the book of Acts, the second connection, do not separate what God has joined together, is the whole issue of the Holy Spirit is related to power. We need to say this. The Christian life has got a supernatural dimension to it. Never separate that from the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1 verse 4, it says like this, while staying with them, he ordered them to not depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Underline the word promise of the Father. Begins with P. Verse 8, but you will receive power. There's another P. Power when the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, gives us power to be his witnesses. That's the purpose of the power. And so being led by the Holy Spirit, understanding the Holy Spirit, is that he is first and foremost the promise of the Father. Let me tell you the difference between man and God. Men break promises, God keeps promises. Men lie, God tells the truth. His greatest promise was the promise of the Father, which was the gift of the Holy Spirit to live inside us and be with us and be upon us and be among us. Jesus said, I'll not leave you as orphans. I will come to you by the Spirit. And God keeps his promises. So we need to realize we've been given a promise that he will keep. And the power of the Holy Spirit is a real, actual power. How many of us need power to live the Christian life? How many of us are aware of weakness right now? How many of us are aware of temptation? How many of us are aware of being human beings? And you get tired and frustrated and burdened and sidetracked. Oh, how much power I need. I wake up some mornings and I think, I don't think I can face work today. Everybody who comes to see me has always got a problem. Lord, I cannot any longer be a problem solver. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the strength. I don't have the motivation. I don't have the life. But I have the Holy Spirit. And his power is made strength. His strength is made manifest in weakness. The very trigger for the power of the Holy Spirit is realizing where you need him. Do you need wisdom? Do you need strength? Do you need energy? Do you need a good night's sleep? Do you need insight? Do you need grace for people, mercy for people, love for people, affection for people? Have you got enemies to forgive? You cannot do it in your own strength. The power of the Holy Spirit is promised and is given. The AA have a step. And the AA began as a Christian organization. I know it's been hijacked a little bit by different things, New Age and all sorts of things. And one of the steps of overcoming addiction is admit you're powerless in yourself to do anything about it. And you need a power greater than yourself. The original starters of AA were Christians, and their higher power was Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. But whether you have an addiction or not, to live the Christian life, to be his witness, to pray, we need a power greater than ourselves, and that's what he's given us in the Holy Spirit. And never forget that the power is given for a purpose, to be his witnesses, to be missional, to be involved in his program on the earth. You know, there's so many areas of our lives we need power. Classically, power to pray. Classically, power to witness, power to overcome even thoughts and imaginations and demons, and power to love people that are hard to love. And never forget that being aware of weakness, being aware of need, being aware of humanity is normal. But also be aware that the actual real power of the Holy Spirit can lift you above that and give you strength and power. Third, being led by the Holy Spirit, connections to the book of Acts. Don't separate what God has brought together. We need to understand that the Holy Spirit is not a force. He's not a fire. He's not a wind. He's like a wind, like a fire, but he's not. He's a person. And that's very, very important. And there's two scriptures just to throw out from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 5. Now, here's a chapter we really would love to take out of the Bible, but it's in the Bible. And there's an incident in chapter 5 where they're bringing the gifts, to laying at the apostles' feet, and there's a couple there called Ananias, and the other one, I think, was called Sapphira. And they wanted to get in on this generosity. They wanted to pretend that they were giving. And it says in verse 3 that Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land. In verse 5, verse 4, while it remained unsold, it was yours, and after it was sold, it was at your disposal. Why have you conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. So one verse says he lied to the Holy Spirit. The next verse says he lied to God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person, he's holy, and he's God. And he lives in me. And he is among us. And he comes upon us. Isn't that wonderful, awesome, necessary, and real? And here's another scripture, chapter 16. And I love this scripture. I would keep this one in my Bible. And it says in verse 6 to 10. And I love it because it talks about Macedonia. And Paul's on a missionary journey. And here's Paul. He's basically serving God, preaching the gospel, doing the right thing, doing what he knows to do. And suddenly the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, brings an adjustment. That's very interesting. By the way, if you want direction for your life, do what you know to do. Love people. Share the gospel. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your heart. Love your wife if you're married. Do what you know to do. Get on with it. But the Holy Spirit may bring some adjustments as you do that. And here's Paul on mission. And he went through Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. Interesting. And when they had come to Mysia, they attempted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia saying, come and help us. So Paul was living for God, serving God, doing what he knew to do, but he had a personal relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit. And when his life needed a bit of adjustment, he was sensitive to that. God got his attention, and they made an adjustment, and they ended up strategically achieving a lot more. And you know, life can be like that. There are days when I'll answer every phone call, pretty much, but there's sometimes the Holy Spirit says, do not answer that phone call. And we need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit. Do you know, there's some people here, your whole day can be absolutely destroyed if you answer the wrong phone call. There's some people here, and you get tempted to look at Facebook at midnight, and you cannot sleep afterwards. I believe there's something about learning to live with a sense of the personal presence of the Holy Spirit, where he can literally guide and direct us in every area of our lives. He's a person, he's holy, and he's God. And I have this thing, I've said this before, but I talk about the granny factor. You know, you're in the living room, you're biting your toenails, and that's not easy. Or you're watching something on TV. That means I have two more minutes. And you shouldn't be watching it. And your granny walks in. What do? You stop biting your toenails. Or you stop watching what you shouldn't be watching. The Holy Spirit, there's somebody greater than your granny living in you, with you, directing you. Be sensitive to him. He's a person. You can grieve a person. You can offend a person. You can please a person. You can enjoy and cooperate with a person. So let's be increasingly sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And in 1.5 minutes, the fourth and last point, you ready? And I have to say this because this fourth point is actually much more important than the statistical amount of time I've given to it. And it's this, Acts 13:1-3. Being led by the Holy Spirit is not just an individual sport. It's a team sport. Being led by the Holy Spirit is not just you and God alone. It's together with the people of God. Proverbs 18, verse 1, Ken brought it to me this morning. And it says like this, and this is so important. If we want to stay in the Spirit, if we want to stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit, it says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he breaks out against all sound judgment. And so one of the signs we're being led by the Holy Spirit is we are in fellowship, we're in community, we're in the church life. And in Acts 13, it says like this, that they were together in the church, prophets and teachers, and it names them, Paul's on the list, and while they were worshiping the Lord, while they, not he, not you, singular, while they, we need to get this, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart Paul and Barnabas for the work to which I've called them. And so one of the things we need to understand about led by the Holy Spirit is, yes, it's all about Jesus. Yes, it's about power to live. Yes, he's a person with us all the time. Is he also relates to us as the body of Christ? And this is so important. You see, we have different gifts in the church, different personalities, different ministries. We've got older Christians, younger Christians, spiritual fathers, spiritual mothers, spiritual brothers, spiritual sisters. We're in community, and we can test what we're hearing from God. We can test it with the Scripture, and we can ask others to confirm it and to affirm it. And be very, very careful if someone is claiming to be led by the Holy Spirit and they end up on their own somewhere, isolated, and they're either already deceived or they will be deceived. And so the Holy Spirit values unity in the body of Christ. He values the corporate seeking God together, the corporate worship of the church, the corporate prayer of the church. And it's a very strange thing if I say to my wife, Heather, the Holy Spirit is leading me to do this, and Heather says, the Holy Spirit is leading me to do the opposite. Either one of us is wrong, or we're both wrong. Or we need to seek God together until we get the clarity and the wisdom and the unity that's important. And you know, we really need unity in the body of Christ, in teams, in marriages, in the church life, for God's purposes. And so, as an individual, let's be led by the Holy Spirit. Let's grow in it. Let's get better at it. As I said last week, God has given us a map, and he's also given us a guide. Not just a map, he's given us a guide. Not just a guide, he's given us a map. Make full use of them. But not just lead me, Holy Spirit, but lead us, Holy Spirit. Lead us as a family. Lead us as a church family. Lead us as a leadership team. And why is it so important? Why is it a wig? Why is it the necessary thing? Because if we are completely led by the Holy Spirit and depend on the Holy Spirit, we will honor Jesus. We will respect his person. We'll experience his power. And there's a unity in the Spirit. There's a synergy and a unity in the Holy Spirit that is so important. Now, if I was the devil, I want the opposite of those four things. I want to dishonor Jesus. I want disunity. I want God's people to never realize there is a power and a presence in their lives where they can overcome. I want to fill their heads with rubbish and garbage and negativity and criticism and complaining and gossip and accusation and unbelief and doubt. And fear is one of my favorites. One of my favorite tactics is fear. But I do believe if we can give the Holy Spirit his place, he'll honor Jesus. He'll give us power. He'll relate to us individually and together as the people of God. Amen. I rest my case. Sorry, I went for 2-3 extra minutes there. Forgive me, Tony.